Okay, Likutei Diburim al Inyanei Yom HaKippurim, Os Aleph. Let's learn about the two sons of Aaron who died in a very tragic and holy way. We'll try to understand it with a new depth. Misas Shnei B'nei Aaron Nichtav Ka'akadama L'Parshas Yom HaKippur. The first thing you need to think about and just acknowledge is the fact that where in the Torah do we find the description of Yom Kippur? Primarily, we find the avodah described in Parshas Acharei Mos. And how does Acharei Mos begin? Acharei Mos, Shnei B'nei Aaron, after the death of the two children of Aaron. So somehow, this is probably the deepest piece, arguably the deepest piece of Orgad Aliyah we've learned yet. Okay, so let's end on a high. Apparently, understanding what happened with Nadav and Avihu, the two sons of Aaron who died so tragically, and yet in a way that's very holy, as we'll see, is somehow meant to teach us or be an access point, an entry point, to what Yom Kippur is all about. Because that's how the Parsha that talks about Yom Kippur begins. It talks about Acharei Mos Shnei B'nei Aaron, after the death of the two children of Aaron. So again, let's look inside. Misas Shnei B'nei Aaron Nichtav Ka'akadama L'Parshas Yom Kippurim. The death of Aaron's two sons is written as almost an introduction to the Parsha of Yom HaKippurim. Introduction meaning in terms of its placement in the Torah, it's the beginning of Acharei Mos, and Acharei Mos is the Parsha of the Avodah. Ulahavin ha-shaychis shel misasim la-parsha shel Yom HaKippurim. And in order to understand what is the connection between the death of Aaron's children and the Parsha of Yom Kippur, nakdim ha-shekasavnu ba-parshas Acharei Mos, I'll begin by reviewing something I shared in my essay on Acharei Mos, Be'inyan Misas B'nei Aaron, with regard to the death of Aaron's children. K'siv v'yidaber Hashem el Moshe, Acharei Mos Shnei B'nei Aaron, B'karvasam lifnei Hashem, v'yamusu. Look at the words. Hashem spoke to Moshe after the death of Aaron's two children, B'karvasam lifnei Hashem, when they came before Hashem, Vayamusu, and they died. Why does it have to say, and they died? You already told me that it was Acharei Mos Shnei B'nei Aaron. Uve Mefarshim Medaikim HaLashon HaKafel, the Mefarshim are curious. Shekvar Ksiv Acharei Mos. It says Acharei Mos Shnei B'nei Aaron. After the death of the children of Aaron, Vayamusu, and they died. That's usually what happens after you die. Usually after you die, you're dead. No? Anyone here ever die and not be dead? V'lama hichpil akasav lomer v'yamusu. What is the v'yamusu? Acharei Mos Shnei B'nei Aaron. Dot. V'yamusu. What's the v'yamusu? So, Chev, we're going to learn a very, very deep thing today. This is a hard piece. Not hard conceptually, although deep conceptually, but l'maisa it's hard. It's a little bit of a continuation of what we were learning yesterday. That when a Jew goes into the mikvah, like the Shem Yishmuel explained from his father, the Avnei Nezer, the first Rebbe of Sukhachev, it's a complete surrender of self. It's almost like, I'm dead, with the hope of being born again. The Gemara in Brachos tells us, Samach Aleph Amud Beis, Misaper Al Misasol Shere Rebbe Akiva. If I were to ask you to pick a single individual who is the spirit of Rosh Hashanah, again, amongst our great sages, Rebbe Akiva should be at the top of your list. Rebbe Akiva was a Yom Kippur, I'm sorry. Also Rosh Hashanah, but Yom Kippur. Tshuva. Tshuva is the domain of Rabbi Akiva. Yom Kippur. Rabbi Akiva gets the last word in Meseches Yoma. Ashreichem Yisrael lifnei mi atem betar, mi betar eschem. Rabbi Akiva is a very Yom Kippur dikasol. So when Rabbi Akiva was dying his brutal death, Brachos Samach Aleph Amud Beis, U'misayim Shama Gemara, the Gemara concludes, Shebe'eish shahayim miyasr noso hayim makaba olav ol machus shamayim. What was Rabbi Akiva doing at that very moment that they were torturing him to death? Saying Shema. Mekabel alav ol malchus shemayim. He was accepting upon himself the yoke of heaven. Amru lo talmidav. So the talmidim said, Rabbeinu ad kan. Does a Jew need to believe in Hashem? Does a Jew need to mekabel ol malchus shemayim? Does a Jew need to, I don't know, maintain his composure even in such a situation? Ad kan, to such a degree, You still believe in Hashem as the ripping off your flesh? Amar Elohim, what are you talking about? He said to his Talmidim, Kol Yamai Hayisi Mitzdar Al Pasuk Zeh. My whole life there was a Pasuk I've been waiting to fulfill. What Pasuk is that? Serving Hashem B'chol Nafshecha. To serve God with all your soul means Afilu No Teles Nishmascha, even if they take away your soul. Even if your life is taken away from you. Be prepared to give it all up for Hashem. Hey, we've been learning a lot about this. The mikvah, right? The Akedas Yitzchak, the Kafalei Marke Gigas. Oh, the surrender a Jew has to have, a bittul to Hashem. Amarti masa yavo liyadi v'akaymenu. Rabbi Akiva says, my whole life I've been waiting. When will I have the opportunity to fulfill this pasuk? It's strange, no? Is this a normal way for a Jew to live? What happened to v'chai b'hem? I thought Hashem wants us to live. Rabbi Akiva spent his whole life waiting to die al kiddush Hashem. Is that something to strive for? Is that something we should be thinking about? Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim said, Rabbi, this is terrible. And he said, nah, this is what I've been waiting for my whole life. To be kind in the pasuk, b'chol nafshecha. V'achshav shabal liyadi lo akaymenu. Now that the opportunity has come my way, should I not fulfill it? Waiting his whole life. Now is I finally have the opportunity. What's going on here? Hayamarich be'echad. The Gemara concludes that Rabbi Akiva was ma'arich be'echad. He was holding on, he was clutching, lengthening, literally lengthening the word echad, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, holding on to that word echad, at sheyatza nishmaso be'echad, until his soul expired with the word echad. Rabbosai, it's a very deep Gemara. There's a ton of depth to this Gemara. Va'amar harav ha-kadosh mi-rizhin zatzal. The holy Rav Yisrael Rizhner. Rav Yisrael of Rizhin explained, V'cheinu b'prit tzaddik. And Rav Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin explained similarly in his magnum opus, the Prit Tzaddik. Levar divrei ha-gemara. Ki yesh inyan sh'achiyos hu ratzo v'shov. There's a reality of what? The chayos HaKodesh, the holy chayos, the angelic chayos, are ratzo v'shov. B'chayos is a lashon of chiyus. The chiyus of a person is ratzo v'shov. What does that mean? The life force within me, the fact that I'm alive, is ratzo v'shov. So if we were talking Musar, we would say ratzo v'shov means, how would a Baal Musar explain ratzo v'shov, the chiyus being ratzo v'shov? Right? Times when I feel inspired, times when I feel less inspired. Yimei Ava, Yimei Sina. Times when I'm in the mood to get to shir, times when I have to drag myself to shir. What's the chiyus ratzav eshov api pnimius atar? Api chasidus. What's ratzav eshov? My life force is ratzav eshov. You know what it means? It means that if I'm a Jew who's in touch with my neshama, I'll feel that my neshama is trying to run away. Why is my neshama trying to run away? Because my neshama, when it frees itself from the shackles of the guf, my neshama knows exactly where it comes from. My neshama knows exactly where it wants to be. My neshama is a captive. My neshama is a chelek elokam imal, a divine spark that has been literally captured by our bodies and taken away from the palace. So if my neshama had an opportunity to get out of here, it would. It's ratzo, it wants to get out of here, it wants to run home. That's what the neshama wants to do. It's one of the wonders we say every time we go to the bathroom, mafli la'asos. My body's able to distinguish between nourishment and excrement and urine, and there are openings to the body, right, that very precisely allow certain things to leave, certain things to remain. Mafli la'asos. It's a wondrous thing that what? That the body and soul can agree to stay together because the neshama wants to escape from what? From some of those openings. Nikavim, nikavim. The openings of the body, the neshama says, I can escape through the nose, I can run out the eyes, the ears, right? Through the bris mila, I can find, there's holes in the body, I can find the way out of here. And it's mafli lasos, it's a wondrous thing. It's a huge chiddush that the neshama sticks around. But we're explaining that on a spiritual level. The neshama wants to get out of here because the neshama wants to go home. The neshama, using that mashal I gave you the other week, the neshama is that drop of water that wants to throw itself back into the ocean. So it wants to get out of here, wants to go back to Avinu Shabbat Shemayim. So what does it mean? Says the Rishner, says Rav Tzadok, Ubiorohu, the explanation is as follows, top of the left column, the bottom half of the page. Asher ha'odam yitzido tzarech lios muchan b'chol eis u'b'chol rega liizdabek b'boro or limsor nafsho. A Jew has to be ready at any given moment to give it all back to Hashem. And you should want to. It's a big bracha. My body doesn't want to be tortured. No one wants to die like Rabbi Akiva. No one wants to be thrown into a gas chamber, Rachman al-Tzlan, at the hands of the Nazis. No one wants to be killed like Rav Shimshon Yastropoli, who I mentioned earlier, was killed in the Gzeros Tach V'tat, in the massacres. No one wants to actually let go. But there's a part of our neshama that says, at any point, I can get out of here. I'll get out of here, even if it means dying a brutal death. Whatever it takes to go home. The neshama wants to run back to its makor, to its place. The problem is, the neshama is from. The neshama follows the Torah. And what is the mission statement of the Torah to the neshama? Really, to the neshama and the guf? V'chai b'hem. Hashem wants you to live. Right? Suicide is a terrible, terrible crime, al pi Torah. It's not a holy thing. It's a terrible, terrible avera. Because Hashem says, I know you want to. Obviously, a person who's chas v'shalom, depressed and mentally ill and kills themselves, it's a horrible tragedy. I'm saying, even if a person said, I want to kill myself to return my soul to its creator for a holy reason, that's murderous. That's a horrible avera. Because the Torah's mandate to every one of us is v'chai b'hem, you have to live. My neshama wants to go home. Hashem says, I understand. But you're a messenger in this world. I need you to live. I need you to embrace life. HaTorah amra v'chai b'hem. She'osr lo limsor nafsho ala mitzvah. You're not allowed to give up your life. She'ratzon aborehu she'yichya v'lo she'yimsor nafsho. Hashem wants you to live. Which is why, with the exception of the Gimel Chamuros, a gun to your head, eat this cheeseburger, I'm going to kill you. We eat the cheeseburger. Why? I want to die. Kiddush Hashem. Okay, we discussed a little bit. Some Rishonim say maybe you could give your life in that situation. But B'derech Chlal, the goal is V'chai B'hem. The goal is that you should live. Hashem wants Jews who are alive and doing the Ratzon Habore in this world. V'lechein hu tzorech limnoa milisdabik atzmo b'boro ad kolos ha'nefesh. And therefore it's your achrayis. Look at the words. Limno, what does limno mean? To what? To hold back or to prevent. Prevent your soul from clinging to its creator ad kalos hanefesh. Kalos hanefesh means till the soul expires. It's your job to keep your neshama in your body. However, we're pasha de yidin. It's not so hard for us. For tzaddikim, it's actually a big avoda. You ever see like a chassidish rebbe, maybe a picture, or you ever went to a tish and you saw, sometimes a chassidish rebbe will like a chassidish rebbe wrap his hand in like a towel during the tish. Anyone ever see that or something like that? Or like hold on to something. The tzaddikim explained that's the way the tzaddik makes sure that he stays attached to this world. He has to be holding on to a physical object of this world, or he's out of here. He may not come back. So he ties himself down in this world. He attaches himself to a physical object to make sure that he doesn't reach kolos hanefesh. Or, maybe said more nuanced, in a more nuanced way, he reaches it, but he's able to come back. He can get there and still come back. Shulchan Aruch says, by the way, every time you daven Shmon Esrei, it's supposed to be Hispashlus Hagashmi, where your neshama detaches and elevates itself beyond your body. But you have to do it in a way that what? That you can put the neshama back into the body. If you don't, Hashem's not happy with you. Your job is not to let go. Your job is to live. There's a story with Rav Kook. Just to show you how real this is by tzaddikim. Rav Kook and Rav Yaakov Moshe Charlap, his beloved Talmud Chaver, one time were somewhere in, I think, northern Israel, some beautiful part of the country. The whole country is beautiful, but. And they were staying at some type of, I don't know, hotel, resort, something. I'm not sure exactly what the mitzvah was. And the next morning, Rav Yaakov Moshe saw that Rav Kook was conversing with the fellow at the front desk before davening. And Rav Kook was very makbid not to talk, as one should be, not to really engage in conversation before davening. You can give a quick good morning to the security guard on your way into, you know, to Minyan or whatever. Right? But you're not supposed to have long... My conversation starts in the morning with talking to Hashem. So it's very uncharacteristic. And Rav Kook was talking to the person, you know, who was managing this this inn, this hotel. He was asking him about the different types of plants that grow in the area. Tell me about this tree, or tell me about this plant. Oh, these flowers, interesting. We don't see these in other parts of our Eretz Yisrael. The whole strange conversation, talking about, you know, the botany of that part of Israel. So Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Chalap asked him, like, what's the pshat? Or maybe one of the other Talmidim asked, what's the pshat? You know, the Rav doesn't, they're called the Rav. The Rav doesn't usually converse before davening. They wanted to know. Obviously, it wasn't Stam. So Rav Kook said... He said the conversation last night, him and Rav Yaakov Moshe apparently were up late, who knows, learning Kabbalah, till talking about the secrets of the world, you know, being medabik through one another to the Borei Olam. He said, this morning when I came down, I felt, Rav Kook said, this was a lashon, Rav Kook said, I felt that if I would have gone straight into davening without grounding myself in something Olam Hazeh, literally the plants that we're talking about, I was afraid that during davening I'd experience kolos ha-nefesh and not be able to put my neshama back in. I was too high. I had to cool off a little before I went to daven. You imagine? That the tzaddik has such a cheshvan that I'm scared that if I go to daven, I'm on such a high from last night's Torah session that it'll be the end of me. My neshama rotzo and not show. It'll never come back. It's wild. So a Jew has to what? Has to fight against this desire for the neshama creator. It's a mandate. You have to try to live. Yeah. Could be. Tzaddikim who thought that they would be able to stay grounded and they ended up taking off. Yeah. Yeah, there were tzaddikim who just they couldn't bear to remain in this world. Yeah, certainly could be. Okay, so he says this is what's called Vizen Nikra Shachayos or Achius Ratzo Vishov. Ratzo again is the life force within a person that wants to escape. Va'achar kach hu shov she'ein yachol is davik legamri. And then shov, either Hashem doesn't let you, or if you're on such a madrega that you could escape, don't allow yourself to escape. V'shov, come back. Don't attach yourself completely to Hashem, because once the dveikus is a dveikus legamri, there's no coming back. Uv'yeser o mekabir hu kamosh kosev achadush rimzal. To explain it even deeper, says Rav Gedalia Yeshur, we can explain it in the way that the Chiddush Erim explains, the first Gera Rebbe, Shebe'eis asiyas ha-mitzvah, tzarech ha-odom limsor kol chiyuso letoch asiyas ha-mitzvah. When a Jew does a mitzvah, he has to put his entire being into the mitzvah. Like we were learning yesterday, a mikvah only works if you're fully immersed in the mikvah. But when you do that mitzvah with all of your being, how do you survive? Elisha ha-mitzvah chozeres lochiyos. The mitzvah itself gives you life. That's what mitzvahs do. So you give up your whole life for the mitzvah, how do I come back? Because the mitzvah gives new life to you. V'lechein amru, shachayos ratza v'shof. When you do the mitzvah with all of your being, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, don't worry, it's still safe, because the mitzvah will give your life back to you. Good, David, you figured it out. Very good. Nu, so let's talk about Rabbi Akiva, and let's talk about Nadav and Avihu. Which part did you figure out? Both? Not the Nevi'ah, right. Rabbi Akiva, Be'ez Shekiva, love Ol Malchus Shemayim. When Rabbi Akiva, whenever he would say Shema, whenever he would give up his life for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, however, every time we say Shema, it's mamish, we're giving up our life. I told you once, the reason we cover our eyes during Shema, I thought you could suggest, is because our Gemara says in Maseches, what are we learning? Avodah Zarah? Avodah Zarah, Daf Dalet, I think it's Daf Dalet. Suma is kames. A blind person is like a dead person. When you cover your eyes during Shema, you're saying, it's ki'ilu, I'm dead. I'm giving up my life. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Barachim im Rabim, is Mechaye Mesim. Like we say every day in Shemona Esrei, a brach of Mechaye HaMesim. What's the gematria of Mechaye HaMesim? How much is Mechaye? Mem Ches Yud Hei? 63. Okay, how much is Hamesim using a Mem Sofit? Mem Sofit. How much is Mem Sofit in Gematria? 600. Good. So what's Hamesim? No, write it down. Mechayei HaMeisim. Who's got it? 1,025. And what did you say? How much? 1,055? 1,055 plus how much? Plus 63, you said?
Yeah.
What is that? 1,055 plus 63. Apparently. That's what you're telling me. 1,118. So Mechayei HaMeisim is Gematria 1,118. It's exactly Gematria Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Because when a Jew says Shema, he says Kabbalah Ol Malchus Shemaim, giving up everything for Hashem. It's a good time to review a vart from Rabbi Yisrael Salanter that the Chavetz Chaim brings. The Chavetz Chaim's yahrzeit was yesterday. Chavetz Chaim brings B'Shem Rabbi Yisrael Salanter a very strong vart. When a person says, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, you're supposed to think how I'm crowning Hashem as king, Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemaim, accepting the yoke of heaven over what? Over the entire world. When I think about the Dalit, I think about the Dalit Ruchos HaOlam. Right? Echad. And I'm picturing how Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is truly everywhere. Yeah, up, down, all around, right, left, yeah, etc. So Yisrael Salanter said, but sometimes, when a Jew is so busy being Mamlech Hashem over everything around him, he forgets to be Mamlech Hashem over himself. The main thing in Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemaim is not the Ches. I think about the heavens and the Dalid Ruchos HaOlam. Yisrael Salanter said the main thing is being Mamlech Hashem over you. Right? So don't, make sure you don't tell. You need to believe in Hashem. You need to believe in Hashem. You need to believe in Hashem. Do I believe in Hashem? Am I Mamlech Hashem over me? Would I give up my life for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The Rabbi Akiva said, my whole life I'm waiting for that opportunity to return my soul to its creator. However, let's listen to the words of Rav Elimelech of Lizhensk in his famous Tzitl Katan, the small pamphlet. Some suggestions, some good advice from Rav Elimelech of Lizhensk. Again, it's very lofty, but just listen. I'm going to read it to you in English. The first couple of suggestions. Number one. At any time when one is free from learning Torah, especially when he has nothing to do, and he's sitting alone in his room, or he's lying on his bed, and he's not able to sleep, he should have in mind the mitzvah of, and I shall be made holy among the children of Israel. The mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. This is the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, to sanctify Hashem's holy name, even if it means giving up one's life. He should feel in his soul and imagine in his thoughts as if a great fire was burning before him, reaching until heaven. Because of his desire to sanctify Hashem's name, he breaks his natural inclinations, meaning the human desire to live, and throws himself into the fire to sanctify Hashem's name. Now, of course, don't try this at home. You can't actually do this. Right? But if you're sitting around with nothing to do, says Rav Elimelech of Lizhensk, you can practice, you know, your Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shemaim by picturing, would I be prepared to go into the fire and give up, right? Or am I too into myself to let go? Could I, would I, if I was allowed to, would I enter that fire? Al Kiddush Hashem. And from this good thought, Hashem will consider it as if he had physically done the act. If you can get to a point where you say, Hashem, I really would like to return my neshama to you, not because I'm suicidal, God forbid, because I want to cling to the Makur HaChayim, I want to come back to the Chai Olamim, or Chai Olamim, depending on what you say. When a person does that, this way he's not lying or sitting doing nothing. He's fulfilling a positive mitzvah of the Torah, sanctifying Hashem's name. Okay? That was suggestion number one. I'll give you one more. In the first verse of the Shema, and the first blessing of Shemona Esrei, he should have in mind as above. When you say Shema, think, would I be prepared to give up my life? You cover your eyes, you make yourself ki'ilu, you're blind, suma chashuv kameis, and it's only because you did a mitzvah that Hashem is mechayei hameisim, gematria shema yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Hashem gives you your life back because you gave up your life for Him. Kiviyachol. He should also have in mind that should all the nations of the world afflict Him with horrible afflictions, if they were to rip the skin off His body, exactly what we're describing, Rabbi Akiva, Right? He would still maintain his commitment to Hashem. He would be willing to bear all the suffering and not agree to them, God forbid, to abandon Hashem. He should imagine with his understanding and thoughts that they are doing this to him. Right? Picture yourself as Rabbi Akiva. So you'll say, I can't. Okay. So do a little less. Think about what sacrifices do I make for Hashem? When do I, yeah, I wouldn't mind, again, like, you know, grabbing a little, a few more minutes for breakfast, but I rush my breakfast so I can get to shiur on time. That's also a sacrifice for Hashem. I'm giving up my flesh. I would have enjoyed a little more food. But I gave up my flesh I gave up my being in order to give more to Hashem. With this, you have fulfilled the requirements of the Shema and prayer according to the law. If you can do this, says Rabbi Melech Vizhensky, that's Kabbalah Sol Machlis Shemayim. That's saying the first paragraph of Shmona Esrei, really being Omed Lifnei Hashem. Okay? So Chevra, let's come back now. Says Rav Gedal Yeshur, when a Jew does a mitzvah, what? It's the mitzvah that keeps him grounded, because he gives away all of his life, hopefully, in the fulfillment of the mitzvah, and the mitzvah gives back new life to him. So when Rabbi Akiva is what? Being Makabel O Machlis Shemayim. Bottom paragraph, Rabbi Akiva, Be'ez Shekiva Lav O Machlis Shemayim Kol Yimei Chayav. Every time Rabbi Akiva said Shema, Hayimitzta'er, he was pained over what? Again, it's a lofty level, but I think there's a lot we can learn from it. Rabbi Akiva was pained that what? What bothered him? V'chai behem bothered him. I don't want to live in this world anymore. What a crazy Meshugana Alma de Shikra. I want to go back to the source. Rabbi Akiva was a good Jew. He knew the rules. The rules are v'chai behem. You got to live. But he was pained she'ein b'yachotu lizdabik asmo b'boro be'ez kabbalas ol malchus shemayim ad kalos ha'nefesh. Rabbi Akiva wished not just that he could meditate on it like Rav Eli Melech Lizhensk is describing here. Rabbi Akiva says, I want to actually do it. I want to be able to show that it's not just theoretical. Right? We learned about how Avram Avinu did the Akedah in his mind. But Avram wasn't convinced. Let me cut Yitzhak a little. I want to do it l'maisa. Because it's hard to imagine that just thinking about it is considered like doing it. So Rabbi Akiva says, you know, there's a lot of things. When a person says, like, oh yeah, I want to learn all of Shas one day. Oh, yeah, I want. Want can be a very abstract idea. Let's see the l'maisa. Rabbi Akiva said, I want to prove to Hashem that I would really do it. That if they tortured me to death, I wouldn't blaspheme God. I wouldn't become the Eov, right, who questions Hashem in his suffering. I would celebrate my suffering because I want to go back to Hashem anyways. Shehu mitzuva l'baal asos came. But he wasn't allowed to let go because you're commanded not to. V'chai behem v'lo sheyamas behem. But said Rabbi Akiva, Chaver, listen to this. It's such a deep understanding of this Gemara. Said Rabbi Akiva, now I'm going to die anyways. Now I can't choose v'chai behem. There's no option for me to live. The Romans have chosen to murder me. So achshav asher bein kachu yamus. So now that I have to die anyways, Rabbi Akiva says, now I can finally say Shema and actually die and let go. How did Rabbi Akiva die? If I stopped you in the street, if I woke you up in the middle of the night tonight, I would want you to know how to answer this question. Yeah? If I woke you up in the middle of the night tonight and said, tell me, how did Rabbi Akiva die? Mordechai, how did Rabbi Akiva die? That's not the correct answer. That's exactly the point I'm trying to make. The Romans did not kill Rabbi Akiva. How did Rabbi Akiva die? The Talmidim said, the Romans are killing you. Rabbi Akiva said, nine, not true. Dveikus b'Hashem. Why am I allowed to let go? Every other time I'm forced to hold on. Why am I allowed to let go now? I'm dying anyways. The Romans are putting me in a situation where since I don't have an alternative, I'm allowed to what? Since they're killing my body, I'm allowed to return my soul willingly to my Creator. And that's what the Gemara says. Let's look at it inside. Achshav asher bein kachu yamos. If I'm dying now, shuv einu metzuva ala mitzvah shal v'chai behem. However, the enemies of Klal Yisrael are never the ones. They're not in charge. These Romans, yimach shemam, did not kill Rabbi Akiva. Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu granted Rabbi Akiva's wishes that he should be in a matzav that allowed him to return his soul to his Creator. The Romans did not destroy the Beis HaMikdash. Hashem destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. It was an Eish HaMala that destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. Obviously, through our human eyes, the Romans destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, the Romans tortured and killed Rabbi Akiva. But the real answer is that no, Rabbi Akiva died from Dveikus b'Hashem. So therefore, in this moment where he's dying anyways. Shuv einu metzuva ala mitzvah shal v'chai behem. He was, against his will, being freed from the commandment of v'chai behem. Turn the page. V'lechein haya, top of page 28. V'lechein haya Rabbi Akiva mizdabik atzmo beboro be'es kabbalas ol malchus shemayim ad kalos hanefesh. And therefore Rabbi Akiva said, now I can finally say Shema the way I always wanted to say it. I don't have to go in. Ah, my neshama is not going to come back. Either way, it's coming back. The Romans have, in quotes, have determined that. So the Talmid, the master, Rabbeinu Adkan, Shalu Talmid of Adkan. Velza, and right to this, he responded to them, of course. Sha'achshav hu mutter lizdabik atzo b'dveikas achi gadol. Now I have rishus, now I have permission from Shemayim to cling to Hashem ad kalos hanefesh. And that's what the Gemara says. Yotza nishmaso be'echad. Look at these words. Shalom meis Rabbi Akiva mahayisurim. Rabbi Akiva did not die from pain, from suffering, from affliction. Alishameis mitoch dveikus haboreis barach. He was marich be'echad. He was clinging to echad. Not just the word echad, but he was clinging to the echad, to the one above. Amazing. So Rabbi Akiva was waiting for that moment when he'd have reshus, when he'd have permission to be attached to Hashem completely without any responsibility of v'chai b'hem, of making sure that the chayos are ratza v'shov, that the neshama wants to run away but it comes back. Think about it. What's also always running and returning? A flame is running and returning. No? The way a flame is... Yeah? Ner Hashem, nishmat adam. The Ner Hashem is the neshama of man. The same way you look at a candle, right? The flame is always leaping. It's trying to like let go of the wick, but it's pulled back down by its source of fuel, by the oil, by the wax, by the wick. It maintains grounded, even though there's a part of it that the smoke that's always leaving is a part that's always, you know, so to speak, letting go. But it's always pulled back down. Ner Hashem, the candle of Hashem, is the neshama of man. The neshama of a person is always, it wants to go, but it knows it has a responsibility to stay. This is a deep idea, no? Good stuff? I think so, yeah? That is exactly why we shuckle in Shemona Esrei. That is absolutely one of the reasons why Jews shuckle. Ratza v'shov. Ratza v'shov. I want to draw close, but then I know I have to stay far. It's a mix of Ava, I want to be close to you, and Yira, and awe. It's Baruch Ata Hashem. Not that you have to time your shucklings on Ata and Hashem, right? But Ata means you, I feel close to you, I can call Hashem you. Who talks to God like that? You? You don't talk to a Chashev or Rav like that. You say, does the Rav, does the Rebbe, does Rosh Hechter mind if, you know? You? I say, you to Hashem. I say, Baruch Ata, and then I pull back. I say, Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam. Maybe I'm overstepping. But that's exactly this Ratz of a Shov, Ratz of a Shov. I want to go, but I know there's certain lines I can't cross. Yeah.
I heard before that there's like a higher level of shuffling is just like standing still.
Yeah.
So where does that work with Ratz of a Shov?
Where the neshama is shuckling and the body is still. Right? Kotzker didn't move an inch when he davened. Right? Rabbi Akiva himself actually was jumping around the room, the Gemara says. Okay. So now we come back to Nadav and Avihu. No? I hope by now some of you have started to figure it out. Nadav and Avihu be'ez shenichnesu lifnim. When Nadav and Avihu went into Kodesh Kadashim, lahaktira ketores, to bring ketores. What does the word ketores mean? Incense. But ketores, that shoresh, is a lashon of his kashrus, of attachment, of binding together. The spices of the ketores, which are mixed together. Ketores means attachment. It means dveikus. The word means. Hayolam adveikus hachi gavoa ba'aboris barach. Nadav and Avihu went into the Kodesh Kadashim without rishus. They brought ketores. They attached themselves to Hashem. And guess what, chevra? They didn't come back. It was a holy thing, but it was also a big avera. Why? V'chai b'hem. Who gave you permission to do that? So I'll ask you. So how does the Kohen Gadol ever survive? How does the Kohen Gadol ever make it out of the Kodesh Kadashim, when he brings his ketores once a year on Yom Kippur? How does he make it out? You know how he makes it out? What the Chiddush Erim told us. That when he submits himself completely before Hashem, the mitzvah, what? Gives him chiyus, gives him life. But if you do something that you're not commanded, like Nadav and Avihu did, then you run the risk of what? Of giving away your life, but what? The mitzvah doesn't give you chiyas back. There's no mitzvah. There was no mitzvah. The Ramchal explains in his Sefer, Sheigiu lamakom achi gavoa. Nadav and Avihu reached the highest, highest places. The mamish reached the highest heights. Ukamosha made a cross of bow lifnei Hashem. What does the pasuk say? Achrei Mos. How does our parsha? The parsha that introduces Yom Kippurim. Achrei Mos shnei bnei Aaron bekarvasam. What are the next two words? Lifnei Hashem vayamusu. What did we learn about yesterday? Lifnei Hashem titaru. Yom Kippur were also trying to be lifnei Hashem. They also wanted to be lifnei Hashem. But what happened, Chavra Vayamusu? They didn't have anything to ground them because there was no mitzvah. They were making up their own avodas Hashem. They were clutching the kisei hakavod and they couldn't let go. That's where your neshama comes from. They did the hakrava. They offered that ketoras with all of their life force. And they put their whole life into that mitzvah. And typically when a person does a mitzvah with all of his life, all of his energy, the mitzvah gives life back to you. But the Chiddush Arim tells us that if it's not a mitzvah, if it's an esh zara, asher lo tziva Hashem, like the Torah calls it, a foreign fire that was not commanded, lo haya tzivoy lasos ha-mitzvah, there was no command to do the mitzvah, they couldn't get their life back. That's why the pasuk emphasizes asher lo tziva osam. When there's no mitzvah, there's no way to get back. What does the word mitzvah mean? Commandment, but it also means connection. Tzavsa. The Gemara uses the word tzavsa to mean companionship, connection. So if you connect too strong out there, but you don't have the mitzvah to be a rope to yank you back, so then there's no coming back. Shemizesh shelo hayalem tzivoy mesu. There was no command, and therefore they died. Umisasam hayem erov hadveikus. It was a holy death. Chaver, don't make light of Nadav and Avihu. Mamish a very heilig death. Shahayalem be'es asiyas mitzvah. Right, it was a tremendous dveikus that they had when they did the mitzvah. Again, he's calling it a mitzvah. It means the non mitzvah. They thought it was a mitzvah, the ketoras. Again, exactly what we've been describing. They let go. So, however, now we understand the question we started with. What was our opening question? Achremos, Shnei Bnei Aaron, Bekarvasam Lifnei Hashem, Vayamusu. What was our question? What's the Vayamusu? Achremos, after they died, Vayamusu, they died. No, what's the answer? It's Mamash Pnimius HaTorah. It shows you how to read a pasuk in a deep way. No, what's the answer? What's the answer? Achremos, after they died, the first dying is what? That they put all their chiyus into the mitzvah. And typically when a person does that, Ratzo, he runs, but Shov, he comes back. He's escaping and returning. But here, unfortunately, their karvasam lifnei Hashem, they got very close to Hashem, vayamusu, and they didn't come back. That's what the vayamusu means. Everyone dies when we do a mitzvah. If you really do a mitzvah, we all die when we do a mitzvah. We put our entire being into a mitzvah. That's what doing a mitzvah is. A mitzvah, the Zohar says, without av and yira, it doesn't have wings, it doesn't fly, it doesn't get anywhere. Every mitzvah is supposed to be lifnei Hashem. But here, they didn't have a tzivoy. So vayamusu, just look at the words, and then I'll take your comment. That's what the pasuk means. Achrei mos shnei bnei Aaron bekarvasam lifnei Hashem shemesu mehadveikus hachi gadol shahay lehem bakravas ha'esh. They died through the dveikus that they experienced in bringing that ketoras at shabo lifnei Hashem. Aval bechol adam af shebeis asiyas hamitzvah who moser kol chiyus ol hamitzvah. And if you'll say, but everyone does that. Any good Jew puts his whole being into the mitzvah. That's the mikvah we learned about yesterday. You got to go all in. Yeah, but the mitzvahs machzer lo achilus, aval kan ve'yamusu, shenisharu mesim, they remained dead. They didn't have that, again, that rope to pull them back. Va'mitzvah lo echzira lehem achilus. And the mitzvah wasn't available to restore life to them. Okay? Comment.
Maybe that's why we have to write out for Achrei Mos, sometimes even together,
Achrei Mos Kedoshim, yeah. Very good, very good, very good. It was a holy death. Nadav and Avihu is not, they're not bad guys. Ayin the Or Chaim HaKadosh, he sings their praise about this Heiliga Dveikus they died from. But again, it was a tragedy because they didn't do the Ratzon Hashem. The Ratzon Hashem is V'chaiba. Yeah. Yeah, that's right, that's right. The people, the four Tanayim who entered the Pardes, and some of them didn't come back. You know who came back? Who came back? Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva came back. Ben Azza, Ben Zoma, Elisha Ben Avuya, they all got lost out there. Rabbi Akiva, Nechnas B'Shalom, V'Yatza B'Shalom, yeah. That's right, Nadav and Avihu. He couldn't let go. Once he was attached to the Shekhinah, he couldn't pull himself back out. Yeah, it's pretty amazing. Okay, Chaver, let's finish up the piece. There's one more really deep Nakuli he's going to add. Bottom right-hand paragraph. Nadav and Avihu be'eis she'egiu lahadarga hachi gavava. When Nadav and Avihu reached that lofty place, al yodom niskarvu kol b'nei Yisrael, and this is really amazing. Only Chassidus could say such an idea. And maybe only Ishbitz could say such an idea. He says, even though their death was tragic, and even though on a certain level it was sinful, because they brought an Eish Zara Asher Lot Siva Hashem, but the bottom line is, sometimes a person, you know, breaks through a door. It was an illegal, you know, move. They shouldn't have broken through that door. Once that door was opened, it's open. Nadav and Avihu, as children of Aaron, as Kohanim, Kohanim are teachers, Kohanim are leaders, being Heilige Tzaddikim, by opening that door, they made an opening for all of us to be Lifnei Hashem. They went Lifnei Hashem. On Yom Kippur, we also want to be Lifnei Hashem. We want to do it in a kosher way. They did it in a not ideal way. But it still actually paved the way for us a little bit. We have to have a karsatov to them. It gave us, he says, a negiyah, b'hamakum masher nikra lefnei Hashem. It gave us a negiyah. We made contact with that place that's called lefnei Hashem. Kamosh mevar harav kadosh, Rav Yaakov me ishbitz, in the Sefer Beis Yaakov, ki kamo b'mikvah. Look at this mashal, just like a mikvah. Al yedei hashakas hamayim ashu uvin, l'meh gishamim. A mikvah, of course, has to start with 40 saw of rainwater. But once the rainwater has taken its place, mayim shu'uvin, drawn water, can be added to the mikvah. And what happens? What happens when you add regular tap water to the mikvah, once the mikvah has been established as a mikvah, as a kosher mikvah? 40 saw of rainwater. What happens next? What happens when you add that regular water, so to speak, the drawn water, the mayim shu'uvim, to the mei geshamim? You know what happens? Nasu mei ha-geshamim tahorim. It becomes mikvah water. Right? The mikvah water has the upper hand, the greater power, and will transform other things into mikvah water. Same way I mentioned yesterday how honey turns everything into honey. This whole time of the calendar is a mikvah. The Svarma Kedoshim talk about how the 40 days, the days of Rosh Hashanah, of Elul, the month of Elul, plus the Asaras Mei Tshuva, those 40 days are like the 40 saw of a mikvah. Transformative. Mikvah takes a tar, tamei person makes him tar. Honey turns everything into honey. Mikvah water turns everything into mikvah water. Nasu Mei Gesham becomes pure rainwaters. Ki mayim elu hamashikim mechabrim kol hamayim ashu'uvim lahamei geshamim. Because when the waters make contact, when those waters make contact, it becomes a portal, right, to transform the mayim shuvim into megeshamim. So too, he says, Kain al yedei Nadav v'Avihu. Nadav and Avihu are the tzinor, or the pipe, so to speak, to connect us to Hashem. They left, right, they died, but they left a path for us, so to speak. They blazed the path for us. Nadav and Avihu made hashaka, the same way that contact, the touching, the kissing of the waters, right, is able to transform the regular waters into holy waters. So too, Nadav and Avihu serve again as that conduit between us down here and a place called Lifnei Hashem that we're all trying to get to. And therefore, through Nadav and Avihu, through their Mesiras Nefesh, their death, right, and their dedication, they made a connector for us. So therefore, what happens on Yom Kippur? The Yom Kippurim ba Kohen Gadol Lifnei V'Lifnim. On Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol enters the Kodesh Kadashim. La Makom Asher Hu Omid Lifnei Hashem. That's real kosher, Lifnei Hashem, titaru. It's a proper Lifnei Hashem. It's like the mikvah, where it's okay, lechachila, to add those regular waters to the rainwater. Lifnei Hashem, titaru. V'rak b'koach nadav aviyu yesh la'kohen gadol ha'koach lichanes lifnei v'lifnim. What an amazing line. What a bold statement. It's through the Mesiras Nefesh of Nadav and Aviyu, which on one level was a crime, but on a deep level was a misguided desire to be as close as humanly possible to Hashem, which you have to at least call an Avera L'Shema on some level, a holy sin. It's in the merit and it's through the efforts of Nadav and Aviyu that the Kohen Gadol can go into Kodesh Kadasha and be properly Lifnei Hashem. And that's why what? Achrei Mos, Shnei B'nei Aaron, is the beginning of the Parsha that tells us about the Avoda of the Kohen Gadol. Where's the avodah in the Chumash? It's Parshas Achrei Mos. Why is it being contextualized in the life of Nadav and Avihu? Because they paved the way. The Hakdama la Parshas Yom Kippurim al Yedei Nadav Avihu yish b'koach la Kohen lichanis lifnai v'lifnim. The Kohen can go to the Sanctum Sanctorum, the Kodesh Kadashim, the inner chamber. Bizos Yavo Aaron. It's through this that Aaron comes. B'koach shal Nadav Avihu. It's Bezos. So these two Jews. I don't know exactly how to say it. I was trying to work it out yesterday. I almost told it to you yesterday. I still don't know how to really say it. Zos is a magical word when it comes to Yom Kippur. The gematria of the word Zos is 408. Yeah? We know, we say in the davening, during the Yom Noram, we say that tshuva, tefillah, and tzedakah is ma'avir and esroa ha'gzerah. Tshuva, tefillah, and tzedakah are ma'avir and esroa ha'gzerah. What does it say in your siddur on top of the word tshuva, tefillah, tzedakah? Anyone remember? Another word for tshuva, tefillah, and tzedakah. Tzom. On top of the word tshuva, it says tzom, which means fasting. On top of the word tefillah, it says kol, voice. On top of the word tzedakah, it says mamon. The gematria of kol is 136. The gematria of tzom is 136. The gematria of mamon is 136. Could be the pasuk pshat is, it's showing you that there has to be a balance, right? Your tshuva and your tefillah, you can't just give a ton of tzedakah and not do tshuva. You can't even do two out of three. We say in Psukei de Zimra, that an ish ba'ar lo yavin as zos. A foolish person doesn't understand zos. Yeah? What's the gematria of ba'ar? Bez ayin resh. 272. So 272 is what? Is 136 plus 136. Right? That means, let's say you have two out of three. You have, let's say I have kol and I have tzom, but I don't give tzedakah. And that's not going to work. An ish ba'ar lo yavin as zos. A person who only has two out of three doesn't understand Zos. What happens if you have all three? What's 136 plus 136 plus 136? 408, gematria Zos. So the pasuk says, Bizos Yavo Aaron, Bizos Yavo Aaron, Ela Kodesh. With Zos, Aaron enters into Kodesh Kadash. But here's what I was trying to figure out yesterday. Sometimes you see Svarim, let's take the word Bereshis, right? How do you understand Bereshis? So there's a lot of Torah about Beis Reishis. Yeah? Beis Reishis. What are the Beis Reishis? Two firsts? You could say like Rashi, Bishvil Yisrael Shnik Reishis and Bishvil Torah Shnik Reishis. Right? The two starting points of creation are the Jewish people and the Torah. Hashem, the Torah, and the Jewish people are one unit. So those are the Beis Reishis. You can learn Beis Reishis is the way Hashem wanted to make the world and then how Hashem recreated the world. Again, two starting points to creation. Sometimes you, when you have a beis connected to a word, it just it means two of that thing. So what does it say when Aaron enters the Kodesh Kadoshim? Bezos, beis zos. I'm not sure what the beis zos is. Anyone want to say a pshat? I'm not sure what the beis zos is. And one day of Yom Kippur, if he went in twice, so you could say, well, he goes in really four times over the course of the day. What's beis zos? I'm not sure. But what happens if you do beis zos? Two times zos. Again, maybe one for another, one for a view. I'm not sure. I'm really not sure how to work this out. It's 8:16. What's 8:16?
I just told you 8:16 yesterday.
Did you?
Yeah. Yeah, it was 8:15.
8:16 is Lifnei Hashem Titaro.
Oh, that's
right. So bezos. Maybe the beis is nadav and aviyu. I don't know. Maybe these two Jews paved the way for Aaron to go into Kodesh Kadoshim. They also went lifnei Hashem. Right? But it was a lifnei Hashem that vayamusu. We want to go lifnei Hashem and what? And titaru. So chaver, here's the last paragraph for today. B'shem Ariza. Hold on. B'shem Ariza. The Ariza says, Chaver, this is such a deep Torah we're learning this morning. How do you do tshuva? How do you say vidoy? Chaver, you know how to say vidoy? Gotta know how to say vidoy. Look in the Rambam Hilchos Tshuva. I'm pulling it up for a second. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Tshuva. No? Maya Tshuva. Where does he say how to do Tshuva? How do you do Vidoy? No. Ketan Mizvadim. The very first Ram in Hilchos Tshuva. Okay. Because I got to review this a little more. Says the Ram, the first Ketan Mizvadim. According to the Rambam, the Vidoy might actually be the essence of the mitzvah of Tshuva, more than the Tshuva is not necessarily a mitzvah. I told you maybe Vidu is the mitzvah. Ketan Mizvadin, says the Rambam. In the long first halach in Hilchos Tshuva. Ketan Mizvadin, how do you do Vidu? What do you say? Ana Hashem, Chatasi, Avisi, Pashati. How do you begin? Ana Hashem, please Hashem, I've sinned by accident, on purpose, different intents. We start with the word Ana, Ana Hashem. It's the same word we cry out, Ana Hashem Hoshiyana, Ana Hashem Atzlichana. What is the secret of the word Ana? Says the Arizal. I'll tell you the secret of the word Ana. Take a look. The Arizal says, you know why the Kohen Gadol begins Ana Hashem whenever he says Vidoy, representing the entire Jewish people? What road, what passage, what scene or what pipeline is the Kohen Gadol going Lifnei Hashem? He starts with the word Ana, Aleph Nun Aleph. Says the Arizal, Aleph Nun Aleph is Roshei Tevos, Eliyahu, Nadav, Avihu. The gematria of the word Ana is 52, is gematria Eliyahu. Eliyahu, Nadav, and Avihu. I can't explain to you right now why Eliyahu is so connected to Nadav and Avihu, but I promise you it is. Pinchas, Eliyahu. What do you want to say? Yeah, Pinchas, Eliyahu. Pinchas becomes Eliyahu. Pinchas also did something that Hashem didn't command, just like Nadav and Avihu. Think about it. Pinchas killed Cosby and Zimri. Kanayin Pogimbo. That's not a halacha. That's not in the Shulchan Aruch. That was also doing Asher Lo Tziva Hashem, but it was good. That was a tikkun for Nadav and Avihu. At that moment, Nadav and Avihu and Eliyahu entered the soul of Pinchas. Pinchas, Eliyahu, Nadav and Avihu. Those are the four that you're talking about. That all come together. So the Kohen Gadol begins his tefillah, Ana, Aleph, Nun, Aleph. Eliyahu, which again, we didn't really give a proper hesber to. I can't do it now. We don't have time. But Ana is Eliyahu, Nadav, and Avihu. Ulidvareinu, Yesh, Lanu, Lahavin, Esa. Says the Gedal Yeshur. I'll tell you what this means. Ki a Kohen Gadol, Nichtas, Lefnai, Lefnim, Zchus, Suvakoch, Nadav, and Avihu. When the Kohen Gadol goes to the holiest place in the world, representing the entire Jewish people, Eliyahu Anavi, who's Heshev Lev Avos Albanim, who's also connected to the whole sugya of Yom Kippur and Tshuva and getting everyone together. The Svarim bring, B'shem the Zohar, Asher Be'es Shaharig Pinchas as Zimri, when Pinchas killed Zimri, Nis Abru Bo Nishmas Nadav and Avihu. Pinchas took on the soul of Nadav and Avihu. Upinchas ze Eliyahu, and there's many sources for that. Pinchas and Eliyahu are one soul. Vayidei kavach she Eliyahu Nadav Avihu, HaKohen Gadol nichnas lefnai v'lefnim b'yom HaKippur. So, Chaver, what does all this mean to us? Besides the fact that we have to learn these types of Torahs just to know that the Torah is a Torah's emes, the Torah is true. And when you're learning a pasuk and it seems like a boring throwaway pasuk, chas v'shalom, it crosses your mind. Like a million pasukim like this. And every letter of Torah is filled with chiyus, has such deep secrets, so many layers. That's aleph, that's the first thing we learn. Second thing, we learn Torah, and learning Torah is a mitzvah, so that's also good. But on a practical level, what do we learn from it? So again, I think the answer is what we learned yesterday about, again, the mikvah. I keep coming back to the mikvah, because that's what Yom Kippur is. Yom Kippur is a mikvah. Right? There has to be a ratzon to be all in. We have a chiyuv v'chayabem. We have to stay alive. We're not Rav Kook. We're not Nadav and Avihu. We're not going to, our bodies, you know, our soul's not going to fly out of our body. It's going to take a long time for us to get there. But a Jew has to ask himself, I was davening Marv last night, and I'll end this. I was davening Marv last night in Bergenfield, and I said to myself, I'm being so lazy right now. Like I'm not putting on Marv. I'm saying the words, paying a little bit of attention, but I'm not trying hard during Marv. How often do we feel that we're trying hard during davening? How invested am I? Showing up. How much am I putting myself into the Marv? So I closed my eyes in the middle of Shema when I thought, I don't know why I shouldn't put the thought in my head. I said, Moshe, you're being so lazy right now. Like, you're not really trying. You're trying to check Marv box. Put yourself into it. You're talking to Hashem. You're asking for things. You're thanking Hashem. Put yourself into it a little bit. None of you put themselves in too much in a way that was holy but complicated. But the avod of Yom Kippur is again to follow in their footsteps in the right way of lifnei Hashem tito. Put yourself all in. Immerse yourself. It's not just enough to show up. Get involved. Get interested. Be excited about it. Be energetic about it. Right? Tread that line that Rabbi Akiva wanted to cross his whole life. Chas v'shalom, we should have to die al kiddush Hashem like Rabbi Akiva did. But again, like the Noam Elimelech told us, think once in a while, would I jump into the flames for Hashem? When I say Shema, do I surrender my entire being to Hashem? Is the only reason I'm alive after doing this mitzvah is because the mitzvah gave me chiyus, it gave back life to me? Again, it sounds like a very high level, but madrigos, madrigos, yesh. There are many madrigos. Okay? So Hashem should help us. When we come to that mikvah Yom Kippur, just throw yourself into it. Like I told you from Rav Soloveitchik, just press up against Hashem, get as close as you can get. And then we should be zocha, bezos, in the schus of these two complicated tzaddikim, Nadav and Avihu, bezos. Gematria lefnei Hashem titaro. We should be zocha to the tower of Yom Kippur. Ayavav al malchus shamayim la mekablim alayim ayavav al malchus shamayim.